I wanted to draw an end to our series, Discover Jesus. And Barbara gave a very powerful message in Revelation, of which I also will speak on, about Jesus, our champion. And we want to end this time. This is kind of the tail end of Lent, in a way, where we want to rediscover who Jesus is in new and profound ways that often we may not always do. When we put him in a box or live in that familiarity of who he is to us, Jesus, our Redeemer. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. And you can remain seated. I'll go ahead and read this for us. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. As I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Let us pray for a moment. Please bow your heads with me. We thank you, Lord, for the many faithful pastors that you have sent over the almost 130 years of history since Trinity Covenant Church was planted. Thank you for the work of Frank Riley and just the 2 years that you gave to him as our transitional pastor to get us in a healthy position where we can enjoy some of that fruit today. Bless him in Morgan Hills, his family, as he seeks to bring that church to a place of health and thriving for your kingdom. For those that have lost loved ones that were mentioned earlier, for Ken and Scott Peffley, we pray for the comforting, powerful presence of Jesus to hold them still and close during this time of grief and mourning and loss. Father, more than anything else, we want to hear from you. So speak to us through the living, double-edged sword called your word. And so we, with open, vulnerable hearts, long to meet you once again through your spirit and through your word as we get to know Jesus once again. In your name we do pray, amen. One of the most famous pictures coming out of Brazil, Christ the Redeemer with open arms to not only the people of Brazil, but to the world. Today, with this image seared into our hearts and minds of Jesus with open arms inviting all the world to experience him as the Redeemer, I want to talk about 3 things. Christ redeems people because he loves them unconditionally. Secondly, Jesus redeems our past and pain to bring healing to others. And thirdly and finally, Jesus redeems our power and our privilege for expanding his kingdom. I love the passage that we read as it gives us a picture of what the future is going to look like, where sin and death have been conquered once for all, where he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And this phrase that Jesus reminds us is a heart of him being the Redeemer. I am making everything new. Is that not good news that gives us life today, here this morning? It was James Boyce, whose teaching I've studied over the years, that says that redemption and the work of the Lord as Redeemer are among the most precious words in the Christian's vocabulary. We often think of Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, as our King, as our teacher. But we don't often call him our Redeemer. And I think we need to do that more often. Jesus takes that which was lost and broken and destroyed and limping along in pain, and he brings them back to life, to wholeness, to beauty. Jesus, in his life, in ministry, and today, continues to reverse the effects of the curse that befell upon us in that grand rebellion in the Garden of Eden that we find in Genesis 3. And he is returning us back to the garden from the broken places in which we live as his kingdom goes forth through the gospel and through the church. This is the work of Christ, our Redeemer. First of all, Jesus redeems people because he loves us unconditionally, and we are most precious to him. I love the theme of Luke's gospel in 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And if you cannot, when you hear that, say, that was me and that is me, then you have forgotten the heart of the gospel. It's not just the people out there, but here this morning. That is me, Lord. Thank you for redeeming me. The root meaning of the word redemption, redeemed, is to loose or to loosen. It's to loosen your clothes. It is to unbind your armor. It is to unloosen the bonds so a prisoner who has been suffering in bondage can be set free. It is to pay a price so that those who are in captivity have now found new freedom. Isn't it interesting in Mark's Gospel 10:45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Greek word lutron means a payment to release someone from some kind of bondage, a prisoner of war, slavery, or debt. It flows from an Old Testament understanding of the freedom that comes when one has experienced redemption. Peter reminds us the same concept that so transforms our lives. 1 Peter 1:18-19, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold, for you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That was the price that was paid for us all, that we could be redeemed. Let that soak in, my brothers and sisters and my friends. Think about the price that was paid that we could be set free. If we really let that soak in and rearrange our hearts this morning, we will realize that our self-worth, the way in which we see ourselves when we look at ourselves in the morning, when we stare at that mirror looking back at us, it is not based on your friendships. It is not based upon your work or your accomplishments. It is not based upon your family of origin, but it is in your redemption. How many of us live as if our self-worth, the way in which we see ourselves at that person staring back at the mirror, in that mirror image, that our worth and value is found in our rescue. When that becomes our understanding of our self-worth, it is utterly transformative. We are reminded throughout scriptures that there are two consequences of our redemption because we are so precious to God. We have now been set free, and now we have been set free so that we can turn around and serve God. Never say or feel that you aren't worthy. We have been made worthy because of the one who paid the ultimate price that we could be redeemed. Our redemption in Christ changes everything. Amen. When we battle with that sense of unworthiness, remember that you aren't striving to be worthy. You have been made it by the very fact that you have been redeemed by the most precious price of all, the precious blood of the Lamb. How would that change us if we were to let that soak in and know that that is how we are to view ourselves? He redeems individual people and sets them free. But once he does that, secondly, Jesus also redeems our past and pain to bring healing to others. I'm always fascinated when Jesus begins his public ministry that he opens up that scroll in Isaiah. Luke's Gospel chapter 4 reminds us of that in 16 to 19. He stood up to read, grabbed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, unrolled it, and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The rejected, the broken, the hurting. Jesus begins his public ministry declaring that that is who he came to serve and redeem. This morning I want to declare very boldly, because we need to hear it, that your pain and your past are not beyond redemption. Whatever you have been through, how deep your pain, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is powerful enough to bring the healing and redemption in Jesus' name. He redeems our hurts, our pain, our severe disappointments and failures, and he turns it to receive glory as he calls us out to minister to others. 2 weeks ago, I spent a week at the UPenn campus in the heart of Philadelphia with five of my closest friends. We talked about the challenges of life and ministry. The older we are getting, we've been doing this for a long time, every year, gathering together, studying, praying, encouraging, and eating a lot of good food. Always a great time of the year for us. More than us dreaming dreams to conquer the world in our ministries and missions, I've noticed a shift the past couple of years as tears are beginning to flow more regularly at our gatherings, of marriages that are struggling as we're trying to do ministry, of kids who we have not given enough attention to. And as they are off to college and beyond, how do we stay connected to our growing adult children? To challenges we have, not with the world or persecution, with other pastoral staff. when we can't get along and we're struggling and our hearts are broken in conflict and in pain. My friend Steve shared this definition of brokenness that helped me so much. To be broken is to have a distorted view of God, ourselves, and others, which leads to beliefs, emotions, and behaviors that are destructive to others and ourselves, and derails us from God's purposes for our lives. We're not trying to say that brokenness is a euphemism for sin, but it is indeed impacted by it. When we have a distorted view and misunderstanding of who God is and the gospel and who Jesus really is, it will impact our lives and our relationships with those that we love and care for. And in that brokenness, in that pain, in that failure, Jesus comes and says, I didn't come just to save your soul, but I came to redeem all of you, which includes your past and your pain. David Letterman, the former host of The Late Show, confessed this. I find this interesting. Every night you're trying to prove your self-worth. It's a little like meeting your girlfriend's family for the first time. You want to be the absolute best, wittiest, smartest, most charming, best-smelling version of yourself. So take that shower. If I can make people enjoy the experience and have a higher regard for me when I'm finished, it makes me feel like an entire person. If I've come short of that, I'm not happy. How things go for me every night is how I feel about myself for the next 24 hours. There, in these words of Dave Letterman, I think we can find similar sentiments in our own hearts. I think there are three lies from the pit of hell that rob us of our treasure in Christ. It is, I'm not doing enough, and I am not enough. Can any of us, in the craziness of our lives, as we're vulnerable and honest with ourselves, can identify with these two expressions of truth? I'm not doing enough. No matter how much I do and work hard, why do I feel like I'm not enough? And until we experience Jesus not just saving our soul, but being our Redeemer, entering into the past regrets and hurts of our lives and beginning to bring healing, that He receives glory, and then He commissions us to go and bring that healing to others. In April of 2013, Rick Warren lost his son Matthew to suicide. The pastor of Saddleback Community Church, Lake Forest, California, one of our largest churches in America. And I can never get over his challenge as he reminds us that your greatest ministry will most likely come out of your greatest hurt. Our deepest life message often comes out of our deepest pain. Don't waste your pain. Let God heal it, recycle it, utilize it, and use it to bless other people. But to touch other people, you need to be honest with God, yourself, and others, and you need to be vulnerable. We have to let Him in, that healing will come, and He gets the glory, and then He uses us as His hands and feet to heal brokenness in the lives of others. Jesus, our Redeemer, not only saves and redeems individual people, but He seeks to redeem our past and our pain. Who of us that have lived even a few years of life cannot name areas, circumstances, situations that we know we need to let God in to heal, but out of fear and not wanting to be vulnerable, we resist. But as Rick Warren challenges us, let him in, let him heal it, let him make you whole, let him take that, recycle that in order to heal others around you. That is the power that Jesus has in our lives. Thirdly and finally, Jesus redeems our power and privilege in order to expand his kingdom. It is the Apostle Paul with all of his heart, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. All that I have, all my privilege, all my power, all my position, whether in our mind it is so small or he's given us a lot, let us take it, let him redeem it and put that stamp on. This is mine, Jesus says. And use it not for yourself, but for the kingdom of God and his glory. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I love what C.S. Lewis says as he reminds us that every faculty you have, your power of thinking, the moving of your limbs from moment to moment is given you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his own already. Truth. Art Rainer says, use everything you have to point others to God and to advance his kingdom. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. Pastor, I don't have much. Yes, you do. The fact that you were able to get here this morning and can understand my words as we speak is evidence that he has blessed you already abundantly. Spiritual growth and maturity takes place as Christ the Redeemer continues to advance his kingdom in our lives to the depths of our core and being. We begin to see more and more, everything is a gift. Everything I'm a temporary steward of. While I have life and breath in my lungs, let it be redeemed to be used for the glory of God. The heart of the gospel is redemption. Jesus gives this teaching in a series of parables to leave the 99 so that that one lost sheep that continues to get lost is rescued by the shepherd. And I hope some of us will look and say, that is me. That is me. Thank you, Jesus. It is the story of a woman who lost a precious coin and swept her house nonstop so she could find that one missing coin. And it is a story of a son who had no regard for his father, wished him dead so he could get the inheritance and squander it in wild living. This is us today. And redemption and the story of Jesus in our lives is of the shepherd that leaves everything to bring home that lost lamb. It is a rejoicing that comes when that one little coin is found and invites entire village to celebrate because how precious that one coin is. And it is the heart of a father. As soon as the son left in rebellion, was scanning the horizon, looking and waiting for his son to come home. This is the story of the gospel. He is a God of redemption. That is why God is truly a God of second chances. And we would not be here today if we did not know the redeeming power of his love. James' voice, and I'll end with this, reminds us that redemption is a glorious thing. It calls us to make the highest possible level of commitment. Jesus, as Jesus gave himself for us, so also we must give ourselves for him. That love, an amazing love, demands my soul, my life, my all. Five things to think about, and if you're honest and to ask yourselves and your loved ones these questions, I believe it would be very impactful. Why don't we often think of Jesus as our Redeemer? Savior, yes. Lord, yes. But not really Redeemer. Why not? Secondly, what happens when we don't allow our past and pain to be redeemed? When we don't become vulnerable and humble ourselves and receive his touch of healing and power? What happens when we don't allow that to be healed? What are we missing? And what will be missing in the lives of those that need your ministry and touch because you truly understand their pain? What power and privilege has God given to you? So much, Trinity Covenant Church. We are so blessed. We have been given so much. Let's continue in the vision God has given to us to pursue him with all of our hearts and to pursue his passion for people. Why must the local church be a place of redemption, of redeeming broken lives? I pray we would never be a place that broken people cannot come to because all of us here are broken. May the church be that place, that hospital, that ER, that people can come and be loved and know the love, the redeeming love of Christ. And how have you experienced God being the God of second chances? In other words, we should, at moment's notice, when someone points and asks you, what is your story of redemption? How have you experienced the redeeming love of Christ in your life? We should be able to tip of our tongue, spit it out, because that is how we know we are living by his grace and power. What is your story of redemption? Jesus redeems people because he loves them unconditionally. He redeems our past and pain to bring himself glory, of course to bring us healing, but then to bring healing to others. And finally, Jesus redeems our power, our privilege, our positions for expanding the kingdom of God. What is your story of redemption? Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for reminding us that you came to redeem that which was lost. We thank you for so many of us here that we have experienced your redemption, and we're so humbled and grateful and thankful. Continue at the same time the deep work of redeeming us till we are with you in glory. As you continue to heal us of our past and our pain, in order that others would experience the healing that comes through the Redeemer through our lives. And would you remind us that everything that we have for these few temporary years, our positions, our privileges, our power is to be used for your kingdom and your glory, Lord. Please allow Trinity Covenant Church to be a place of redemption for all. If any of you have felt God speak to you, that you would like Christ as your Redeemer, pray with me, Lord. What kind of love is this? You know all things about me. Be my Redeemer today. Walk with me in my past and my pain. Change it and transform it. Not only that I can be healed, be made worthy and whole. Because you indeed are making all things new. And I want to be made new. I surrender my life to you. I surrender it once again to you. Wipe away my tears. Make me new once again. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for that offer that comes to us today. Thank you that you are making all things new, even out of the deepest, darkest, most messed up, painful episodes, relationships, situations of our lives. We thank you. We testify that you have made us new and are making us new every day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are a Redeemer and you continue to redeem our lives for your honor, for your glory. Continue to do that work that only you can do as you continue to redeem our lives today. Amen.